Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on the end times.
All this week we'll be looking at the rapture of the church, and it's from the viewpoint that the church will be raptured before the tribulation period starts. That's called the pre-tribulational viewpoint. In our last study, we focused in on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, especially in verse 3, where Paul says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." Let me just review real quickly some of the points that I brought out in our last study on this word, the falling away. It is the Greek word apostasia, and it has one of two meanings. It can mean the falling away from the faith in the sense of a spiritual apostasy, or it can mean as well simply mean to depart, from to go to one place to the next. And we do find this word found only one other time in the New Testament, and that is in Acts 21, verse 21, where the word is interpreted for us to be to fall away from Moses. But here it just says the falling away or the departure. And as you look at the word, the departure, it can mean to depart from the faith, or it can mean to go from one place to the next. It depends on the context. And in the context, this word could have the meaning to fall away from the faith or to depart, to go from one place to the next. And I pointed out that this word was simply translated the departure for the first 15 centuries of Bible translation. And it wasn't until 1611 when the King James Version came out that the word used the falling away. It took on a different aspect or a different meaning there. It interpreted the word to mean a falling away spiritually from the faith. But as you look at Greek lexicons, for example, competent scholars Liddell and Scott, who put together a lexicon, they say that the word does have a secondary meaning, meaning to depart or disappearance. And so I pointed out that Paul may be saying here that in the context, you as the church in Thessalonica are not in the day of the Lord. Don't let anyone deceive you by any means, because the departure, or we could call it the rapture of the church, must take place first. And so if that's truly what Paul is saying, and it is a possible understanding of this word, then it settles the issue. Paul would be telling this church, look, I'm going to absolutely prove to you that you are not in the tribulation period, because the departure or the rapture of the church has not taken place yet. And then he'd go on to say also the man of sin has to be revealed, the son of perdition, which is a reference to the Antichrist. Goes on to describe what he will do during this tribulation period in verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So Paul says, you're not seeing any of these signs. You haven't seen the departure. You have not seen the son of perdition rise up. And you have not seen the Antichrist go into the temple, claim to be God, and demand the entire world to worship him as God. Then Paul says in verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So that's where the difficulty comes in. And for us to understand exactly what Paul meant by the word departure, he says, when I was there in your presence, I told you. And he's reminding them what he had already taught them. Now, we do have 1 Thessalonians, where Paul does speak about the rapture of the church in chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, trying to bring comfort to their hearts for those that have lost loved ones. And so here in the passage, Paul may be saying to them, you are not in the tribulation period based on the fact the departure or the rapture hasn't taken place, plus you haven't seen these signs of the Antichrist being revealed and him going into the temple and demanding to be worshipped as God. But then verses 6 and 7 also give us another hint that the rapture of the church may have been spoken about there in verse 3, where he says, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And so Paul says the Antichrist has not risen up yet because there's something restraining him from rising up. And this restraining power or force has been understood in different ways. And I do believe that we can determine from the passage what this restraining power is by looking at a little bit of the grammar. Paul says two things about this restraining power. First of all, we need to understand a little bit about the Greek grammar. All the nouns and adjectives that they had in their language were categorized as either being masculine, feminine, or neuter. So Spanish language has the same thing. In English, we don't have that quite as much, but although we may call a boat a her, it's similar to that. In the Greek language, it was very precise. Every adjective and noun was either masculine, feminine, and neuter. Now, within the English here, it's hard to pick that up, but Paul actually refers to this restraining power, or whatever it is restraining, as something that is neuter as well as masculine. He uses both of those terms to describe this restraining power that is keeping the Antichrist from rising up. Now, within the scriptures, the only thing that is clearly masculine as well as neuter, or referred to that way within the scriptures, is the Holy Spirit. That's the way Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit in the upper room discourse in the Gospel of John. At some points, he used the neuter term. At some points, he used the masculine term. So it strongly suggests to you that Paul is saying that the only reason the Antichrist has not risen up yet is because the Holy Spirit is keeping him back from being able to do that. He says in verse 7, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And we could see that. We could see this influx of sin, of deception, of lawlessness, coming into our society, encroaching upon us, affecting every aspect of our society. But yet, we have not seen the Antichrist as one individual that will cause great deception in the last days rise up. And that's because something or someone is restraining him. And I believe that Paul clearly indicates here that that's the Holy Spirit. And so as you put these passages together, he says that you're not in the day of the Lord because the rapture of the church has not taken place, or the departure in verse 3. And he says right now the Holy Spirit is restraining this time period from coming about. That's because God is still in the process right now of being very patient and merciful and bringing salvation to any who will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's going to come a point where this age of the church, this age of grace, will end. And then a 7-year tribulation period will begin. And that's all in the hands of God, under his sovereign control. And right now, the Holy Spirit's restraining this flood of sin to come at full force. And I would suggest to you that as you look at the Bible, who or what is the thing that God is using to restrain sin at this point? I think of the words of Jesus says that we are salt and light. We are those that are preserving society by our godliness, by our preaching of the gospel, and we are the ones that are light, showing the people the way to true salvation. So what I would suggest to you from these verses, yes, it is the Holy Spirit, but also the Holy Spirit's work through the church. Just think about it. Of all the Christians were gone at this point, just think of all the laws that would be passed, of all the ungodliness that would flood into our society with no one standing up and saying, no, there's a right and a wrong. There's truth and there's error. There's something that is holy and unholy. Think of all the laws that our government would pass without the restraining influence and power of the church that is here. Or just think of all the people that have been saved over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, of how much evil they would have brought just alone through their own lives if they had not received the Lord. I think of the church as that vehicle that the Holy Spirit, through his power and through his might, is using to restrain and keeping back this flood of lawlessness that will come in. But there's going to come a point where I believe the believers will be raptured. And then there will be no more voice at that point, at the beginning of the tribulation period, to stop this flood of lawlessness that is to come in. And it's going to come in and sweep society, and there's going to be great deception that'll come in, and many people will follow after this man, the Antichrist. And it goes on to say in verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Obviously, in reference to the second coming, that'll be an awesome sight. Just the Lord shows up in his appearance, wipes out the Antichrist and all of his forces. Then in verse 9, he says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. So during the tribulation period, what's going to happen is there's going to be the Antichrist will rise up. He will actually be empowered by the devil. His coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. He'll be able to do miracles that will point to him as being the false Christ, the false Messiah. These miracles will lead people to the wrong conclusion about who he is. They'll believe that he is God here in the flesh, and they'll lead to wrong conclusions about who Jesus Christ is, the real Messiah, the real God manifest in the flesh. And then Paul says what's going to happen is because people right now presently are not receiving a love for the truth. Verse 11 is a strong passages, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. So that what's going to happen is people are rejecting the truth over and over and over again right now. And when the rapture of the church takes place, they're going to be led into this deception because the Antichrist will do false miracles. And then God will allow their hearts to be deceived during this time period in a great way. But until then, God is working through the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believers to help us to preserve this society by, yes, by living a moral life, by, yes, by influencing society in that way, but also primarily by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and converting hearts and bringing people, others, under the power of the Holy Spirit to bring that transformation of life. So I believe what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 here to convince these believers that they were not in the tribulation period is that, first of all, a departure is going to take place. And when that departure takes place, the restraining power is going to be released and the Antichrist is going to be allowed to be raised up, who will be empowered by the devil, will do lying signs and wonders and deceive multitudes upon multitudes. They will actually worship him as God. And then God will confirm them in that. He'll allow them to make that choice. And then he himself, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. So there's going to be a massive deception during this tribulation period. But until then, because God is merciful and gracious and kind, he's working through the power of his Holy Spirit through the church to stop this flood of deception from coming in. And yes, the primary reference that the one that's restraining is the Holy Spirit. But as we see within the scripture, the vehicle that he's using right now is the church. And someday the church will be removed, and then there'll be massive deception that'll flood in. So I do believe here in 2 Thessalonians, Paul says that the rapture of the church will take place before that tribulation period begins. And that's when great delusion and great deception will take place. So until then, may we be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be salt to preserve the society that's turning away from the things of the Lord. And may we be light, filled with the power of God to be able to go out and preach the gospel. And the word of God would go out and touch people's hearts and bring salvation to them. The anointed preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we agree to pray that that'll come about and that our lives would be used to further the kingdom of God.